Okay, welcome back. And we are in our fourth lesson, looking at ideas around the neck, integrating that, and with a loose theme of one of the students requested, what about in yoga when you have to go in plow position and you have to get your feet over your head? How can we work with that? So that's our kind of our loose theme. Tonight we're going to do a lesson that is very interesting. Comes from somewhere in Alexandria and I don't know. It was taught to me and I learned it verbatim and I've never seen it written, but it probably exists somewhere. Okay, so with that said, let's go on your belly. And on your belly, place your right hand on top of your left. And turn your head to the side. Turn your head to your forehead and place your forehead right on your hands. Your right hand's on top and your left hand's on the bottom. Now learn how it is that you turn your head to face to the right. So you're going to turn your head so you lay somewhere on the left cheek or the left ear and then place your head back on your forehead. And learn, what is it that you do with yourself as you turn your head? There's many, many ways of turning the head. Do it several times just to the right, so you're looking right. Some people turn their head in a spin motion so that from where the head is in space, if we could do a chalk outline, the head still stays in the chalk outline when it's turned. Some people displace their head outside of the chalk outline and take it more to the right, i.e. forwards in the direction your nose will be going. Some people actually take the head backwards outside of that chalk outline. Am I making sense when I say a chalk outline? You know, like the police crime scenes do where they make an outline, right? So what do you do when you take your head and you putting it on your forehead and then you turn it to the right, what's your strategy? Those are three possible strategies. And what's yours? And simply rest your head. Take your hands and separate them so that you're resting somewhere on your left cheek or your left ear. Again, the head is resting, turned to the right. And just assess for yourself tonight how comfortable this is to be turned this direction. How is your body, yourself, contacting the floor? Do you feel a sense of being able to breathe in the back when you're on this belly position? How relaxed or how working are your buttocks and your hips and your inner thighs? And what's the state of your jaw? Good. Now let's place the left hand on top of the right hand. So again, your palms are down on the floor. You're going to place your forehead on your left hand. And learn for yourself what it's like to take the head and turn it to the left. Do that many times, just seeing and being curious how it is that you do it. How much of your spine do you involve? Clearly the neck has to do something, right? Of course. But how connected are you in your sensation and your awareness to the rest of yourself? Do you feel anything happening between the shoulder blades? Is there a change of tonus? Do you know what tonus means? It's sort of like degree of tension. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Tonus we have to have, right? When you turn your head to one side, the tonus changes on one side of your body automatically. It's just a neurological reflex. And many of you can start to actually feel that. What side of your body gains more tone? And what side of your body relaxes its tone? And then if you think of the chalk outline, what is it that you do? Do you spin and stay right inside and not displace the head either forward or backwards? Or do you displace it? So let's all rest with the head looking left. So you're laying somewhere on your right cheek. Separate the hands a little bit. And let's look at the idea of displacing the head. So your hand should be somewhere near your face. Let's lower the hands a little bit. Lower the elbows a little bit so that your hand is somewhere near the face. And I'd like you to pick your head up as it is. It's already turned. And I'd like you to displace it a little more to the left and find a new place to put it down. So it's like you're approaching your left hand. And then you pick your head up and you displace it back to your neutral or where you had it. Now the moment we go into this motion, it's not really so much the neck is doing the displacing, a little bit. But see if you can swing the spine in a way. The spine arcs in between the shoulder blades and the ribs do something. You may feel the shoulder blades move a little bit as the ribs move underneath them. So you're placing your head a little more to the left. You're putting it down. You're taking a little pause, a rest. Then you're picking it up and you're putting it back. Can you touch the back of your head? Like where you would hold a baby's head, the back of the skull? Just get a sense to touch where the back of your head is. And then let your touch go away and just put your hand near your head. You're going to do the same motion, but I want you to feel the back of your head moving to the left. And not only does it move straight to the left, because of the way we're organized, it's an arc. So depending on how far you're going, you may feel that your chin starts to arc down towards the left shoulder or the left hand. It's not a straight line when we displace the head. It's an arc. So can you feel the back of your head moving? As if your hand were still holding the skull and you could just guide the back of your head. Good. Let that rest, please. And would you roll over onto your back and take a rest on your back? Know how you roll over. How do you do that procedure? One very hot summer in Montreal, when I was doing my training, we had Ruthie Alon. She was one of the people that studied with Moshe in Israel, so one of the first group of people that he trained. And Ruthie was a big fan of rolling. She maybe still is. But she said, don't be too concerned that you stay on your place. Don't be concerned about your mat. Just simply let yourself experience the idea of rolling over and finding a new place, and now you're on your back. So we have a large room here, and if you're hearing this at home, don't be so concerned about always staying on your little cot length of your mat. You can always wiggle back there when it's time to do the movement. There's a certain freedom when you roll over and rest and you just feel, oh, how am I? And you've traversed space. You just arrive however you arrive. Okay, with that said, roll back onto your belly. Feel how you do it. So that even the transitional movements of rolling become part of this lesson. Okay, now let's place your head so that you're looking to the right. And your hands are easily near your face, near your head. What is the head? It has a top. It has a bottom. Can you feel the top and the bottom? Can you feel the left side? Can you feel the right side? Can you feel the front? Where's the front of your head? Your face. Where's the back? Let's focus on the front of ourselves, which is the face. Let's pick our nose for the idea. And can you displace your head little bit over to the right, thinking, that your nose is what you're displacing. And then pick your head up and put it back. And the nose is traveling somewhere. And not in a straight line. Can you feel that? And are you pushing yourself? Are you going too far and then you're uncomfortable? Look for the open doors. Look for the organization. And if you run into a closed door, don't bash into it. Just stop and go, that's where the door closes, and isn't that interesting? And you'll find a key somewhere that will open it. And when it's open, you'll go through it. But you won't break it down. What's your breathing doing? And even in these tiny movements, can you think about your lips? Maybe lick them to get a little contact, find out where they are. And displace your lips a little bit to the right. We talked either last week or the week before about innocent face. Right? Can you make your lips full, at ease, and innocent, and take that kind of quality through the lips as you displace your head and put it down a little bit more over to the right? And when you get that quality in your lips, how does that change your breathing? You don't have to go fast with this movement. You can pause, take a few breaths, and see how the breath is going through your system. You can relax. When you've had enough, simply roll over onto your back and notice how you do that. So it's very interesting when we make the transitional movement of rolling, one with awareness. About 70% of the class is now doing a rolling with the head much more in an intelligent manner. In other words, you're not doing a lot of extra work with your head simply to roll. It's just maybe initiating, but it's more integrated. It doesn't look as choppy. Do you feel that? So Ruthie used to say to us, when you get out of bed in the morning, it's an important movement. It's, you know, you've been at rest all night, and you're going to get out of bed. Most of us do some sort of movement to get out of bed, right? Go from laying down to getting up. She really called our attention to that. How is it that we make that very first movement of our day? And notice your breathing. We do a fair amount of decreasing effort when we're learning fine-tuning. And this lesson is a lot about learning fine-tuning. So you'll get a lot more out of it if you can just continually drop down the effort and increase the sensation. So what are you doing in your jaw? What's happening in the teeth? What are you doing in the chest, in the heart area? What are you doing in the belly? What are you doing in the perineum? That's all the area around the genitalia, the pelvic floor, the sacrum. We can use the internal passages as a way to really modulate the tone and tension in ourselves. One of the internal passages is breathing. Another internal passage is the oral, all the way through the digestion to the elimination. So it involves the mouth and it involves the perineum and the gut. So you can use those places to self-regulate. Check in with how you are in those places. And immediately, just with checking in, starts to self-regulate it because you have a brilliant nervous system. Okay, roll over onto your belly again. Wonderful. Okay, place the right hand on top of the left. And orient your elbows so that they're not so wide out, maybe just at ease, not so close to your body, but not your maximum stretch. And your right hand is on top of your left, and I'm going to have you put your nose on your right hand. And then you're going to trail your nose, actually like wiping your nose in a way, all along your right forearm towards your right elbow. And then you're going to trail your nose back to where it's resting on the top of the right hand. And adjust your arms so that that can be comfortable for you. And let your jaw be free. Let your eyes be soft. And you may need to rest in and amongst this movement. But the idea is, how do you get your nose to go along the forearm? What needs to move? What needs to be included? So this can actually be a kind of interesting, pleasurable idea. Feel yourself fully. All of Feldenkrais is really all about that. How much of the self-image can we complete and make it nice and easier? So if you feel there's a catch or a closed door or you're not breathing, the strategy is not to just push through it. The strategy is to stop there and find different ways of unlocking it. And usually it's not at the end range. Usually you go, oh, I didn't realize I was doing all this work with my hip. Or, oh, I didn't realize I was gritting my tooth there. I didn't realize. And I stopped doing that. Or I do something different in the chest or free the shoulder blade. And, oh, all of a sudden the door is open. Good. Please rest. Turn your head to the right. Separate your hands and rest with your head to the right. Now pick up your head again and place now your left hand on top of your right. And turn your head to the other direction, which is looking to the left. So you're going to find yourself just resting your head on your hands, the left one on top. And in a moment, we're going to take your nose and put it right on the left hand. And then you're going to trail the nose along the left forearm. Now, if you're astute, you'll notice that your nose trails along one forearm better than the other. So try out the left and see what's the difference when you go to the left. Maybe this is your easier side, maybe not. Or maybe it's just different. So, your nose. It's an interesting movement, right? You can think of sniffing. Like, what do we use our nose to do? We do motions with our nose, yeah? So, it's an interesting idea to the nervous system when we put the nose in the picture. And again, you're resting only when you need. Otherwise, you're trailing your nose along the left forearm and back to the back of the left hand. So when you're at your hand, your orientation is looking forwards, i.e. down into the earth, down into the floor. And as you trail it over, the orientation of your face probably changes. The plane of your face changes a bit. Good. Let that go. Roll over onto your back and take a rest. Now, laying on your back, just stretch out and stretch the arms overhead. We're going to keep the face and head fairly quiet. And your arms are overhead. And think, you know, in ballet, when they raise their arms over their head, you're kind of making a circle around your head. The hands don't necessarily have to touch, but it's as if we create an oval around the head. And you're going to leave the hands equidistant apart. And you're going to simply slide that oval a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right, leaving your head quiet. So you have to stretch one arm up so that the hands stay as if the hands were joined by an invisible stick, right? You have to make one arm longer and then the other arm longer. Yes. And feel that your rib cage gets a little elongation as you do that. Yeah. You can just keep the elbows somewhat bent if that's more comfortable for you. That's it. And can you keep the head quiet? It's an interesting idea. The head may want to go with this. Okay, let that go for a moment. Can we all roll up to stand? Do this in standing and just give us a sense in that position what it's like. Let's do two variations in standing. It's a really lovely stretch. It's such a basic stretch. I know they never use that word in Feldenkrais, but I blaspheme all the time. So, you know, you've all done this in the morning, right? Ah, stretch up to the sky a little bit. And let's let the head go with it. So as we stretch one side, let's let the head just tip. And you'll feel that in your waist, yes? And there's a weight shift. You know, you're just reaching and stretching, right? This is the idea. The elbows are easy and you're feeling that good. And then just let the arms come down. Now we're going to do the variation where we're not going to let the head move at all. Do it in standing. So the arms are going to do this kind of side-to-side thing a little bit, but the head's just going to stay stable. It's an interesting idea. In free space, it's really easy to do, right? Just fixate your eyes. Maybe that helps, right? And your arms just sort of swing, the circle swings around your head a little bit, right? And you're thinking, well, no big deal, right? Let's do that on the floor. It's different when we get onto the floor. Keeping the head quiet and just letting the arms displace in that circle a little bit left and right. And it's an interesting thing. You may feel that one leg stretches longer at the same time. You know, you'll feel, again, like a sense of tonal change, an activation somewhere, maybe even in the pelvis, to allow this to happen. Keep the head quiet. Let the arms be bent enough so that they don't ram into the head too much. You know, they can touch, but so that the arms aren't displacing the head on their own, just because you're, yeah, uh-huh. You feel interesting, something in your mid-back for some people. Good, let the arms come down and rest. Breathing. Noticing. The orientation of your face is forward. In reference to you, forward in this position is up to the ceiling, but self-referential, forward. If you turn your head, just turn it a little bit, you're no longer forward with your head. You're approaching to the side of the head, right? To the side. You're in the side plane, right? Now turn it forward again. Turn it the other way and notice you're off forward. And I'm just trying to make this clear because this next movement that we're going to do, you want to keep your head in the forward plane, which would be, help me out here, sagittal. I have to go through them all the time. Frontal plane. It's the frontal plane. Hence, forward and front. Okay, so interlace your hands. Place them behind your head. That's it, right behind the skull. There you go. Yeah, so you really hold the skull. Not the top of the skull, but the back of the head, where we located it before. There you go. You're going to make a movement now. It's a tilting motion, and your chin is going to become the fulcrum. So you're going to take your right side of your head and you're going to tilt it so it approaches more your right upper arm. And then you're going to move your head back. So because we're displacing the head, you are going to feel the back of your skull and your hair slide in relation to your fingers. And that's churning. It's not churning. It's tilting. Yeah. That's it.
Do it without the arms. Do it just
the arms stay quiet. And you're moving your head. Nope, we're not moving the arms. The arms are quiet and the head is in moving in relation to the quiet arms. So you'll feel, and we're just making it displaced to the right. Right? It's an arc. You can think of, I have this image that I used. I don't know if it's good. We'll use it anyway. And you tell me if it's good at the end of the lesson or right now. But you know any dial on your car, if you're not digital, right, it goes from empty to full, right? And it's a swivel, right? And the little thing has a peg at the bottom, right? Like a metronome does the same thing, right? It has a peg at the bottom and it swivels. The chin would be like if we put a peg in the chin and then the rest of your head would swivel. If you think of a line from your chin going all the way up your nose and bisecting your head, going up the top of the forehead, you're going to take that line and that whole line is going to swivel to the right, but you're not turning the head. Is that making sense? Yeah, that's really good. Uh-huh. Lovely. Good rest for a moment. Take your hands out.
So, Tracy, when we're doing that,
yes,
we should be thinking of the neck actually moving. We're doing this all movement at the top atlas.
Okay, so here's the question of the student. I'm going to repeat it so that you can hear it. He's differentiating, where is it in the neck? Is it the whole neck moving or is it just the upper cervical moving? It's the whole moving.
Because if the chin is the hinge point, then the neck can't move.
The chin moves, though. The chin moves. Okay, it can swivel. But so it's as if we put a peg and then your chin could move around the peg.
The peg is here, that's moving then the entire neck. The peg is here.
Yeah, so he's had a lot of Feldenkrais, so he's being very specific, which is excellent. So glad he adds to the class. He's saying if you really put the peg at your chin, it's going to make you do a slightly different movement than if you put the peg at your throat. And he's right. So go ahead and you can decide where you want to put the peg. We're going to get into the upper atlas movement in a little bit, so that's coming. So this one, just to maybe clarify for you, is more the lower cervical going, right? The whole head. Good. Rest for a moment if you haven't already been so. And then you're going to interlace your hands, and you're going to now do it to the left. So again, you're going to just arc the whole head over to the left. You can think, for some people, actually their head touches the left upper arm and the left bicep up in there. Not everyone, though. It doesn't matter. It just arcs over a little bit, displaces over. Quiet hands. You're going to feel the back of the head change in relation to your hands. And let it be there for a moment, pause, and then put it back to where it was. And you're keeping the face frontal plane. Not a turn, because that will differentiate a little bit of the cervicals. If you don't turn, it's very interesting. Now, some of you are gritting. Oh, right? I can see it, right? So just try and let that go and just be kind of interested in, gosh, can I just even move it a smidgen? I know you all can do this because you can do it in standing. That's nice. Good. Let it all go. Rest. Relax. Be at ease. Now we're going to do a variation that does differentiate the upper cervical. So let's just locate where they are. If you put two fingers, maybe your index finger, your middle finger, behind your skull, right, you'll find that there's like a little divot, right, and then there's two big old cords of muscle lying down there more relaxed. Right after that divot are the upper cervicals, and it's very interesting to note that they're a lot higher than you think, because sometimes we think of our face and our neck beginning where the chin is. But if you really see if you brought that line up where you're touching and you brought it up straight front, where would that poke out? It's way above the chin. In fact, it's when you open your mouth and you put a finger in your mouth, like, you know, if you were going to like do a gag, that's where the upper cervicals are. They're quite high up. They're not where your chin is. Okay, so just that gives you just a location for those guys a little bit. We often differentiate those guys in this pecking idea. So let's just do that for the sake of doing it. Let's keep two fingers underneath back there. I don't care which ones. And then just thrust your chin up to the ceiling. It's like you're looking up a little bit. And then tuck your chin down. That differentiates those upper cervicals in a forward and back, like a nodding yes motion. You feel that? Just a little bit of flattening the nape of the neck and then thrusting the chin, and they kind of go up a little bit. Good. Rest that for a moment. That's one way to differentiate them. They also have side-to-side movement. I'm really speaking about the skull and the first cervical. It's a saddle joint. So, like a saddle, you can go forward and backwards on a saddle, and you can go side to side on a saddle. So we're going to explore the side to side saddle movement, which for most people is the one that actually falls out of play. And we're going to wake it up a little bit. Okay. God bless you. Interlace both your hands again. Place them behind your head. This time we're going to put the fulcrum somewhere near the sinuses. I mean the maxillary sinuses. So somewhere maybe between the eyes, the bridge of the nose, it may be third eye for some people, it may be a little bit lower sinuses. And what's going to swing now is the chin. Okay? So you're going to think of cocking the head, a little bit like how a dog cocks its ear up. And you're going to let your head go to the left. As you do that, your chin is going to swing to the right and your right ear is going to cock up a little bit. So we're opening up the right side of the neck up high. Is that making sense? It's not turning though. Don't turn. It's a very small movement. Let's describe it again. Okay, you're going to make the fulcrum somewhere here. And the chin, that's the movement. Yes, but try not to turn. So let's get you out of turn to begin with. So I'm just with the student, I'm putting my hands right on her upper cervical. And you're going to think, oh, you feel that's a little different without turning? Mm-hmm. Just something like that. As if this right ear wanted to hear something. Very small, not turning. That's turning. I'm laughing because two of these students in this class, I taught this in a workshop, and the whole time I was like, that's turning, that's turning. So we have sort of an inside joke about that's turning. Anyway. Gently, gently. Rest if you need to. So don't end gain it. Just relax for a moment and go with me. That's the movement. So small, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really small.
I mean, you can go a little further, but I don't want you to get into your turning. Do you feel that pull right in through
there? Just felt real short, like there's not a lot of space.
Yeah, there, it's not a big movement. Think of how little the joint is. It's not a very big movement. It's just trying to differentiate, you know? It's like adding that nice little ingredient. Maybe it just needed a tiny bit of cayenne pepper, you know? And it makes the whole dish, right? It's just a small little thing, and yet it really can change. Okay, rest for a moment. Take your arms down. Now interlace your hands with the non-habitual way. So if you have to go to the habitual and just change it by a finger, go ahead and do that. And now let's do the other side. So again, the pivot point becomes somewhere sinuses, bridge of nose, between the eyebrows, somewhere there. And now your chin is going to swing to the left as you bring your left ear up and your right ear down a little bit. That's it. You can maybe even feel that your jaw swivels a little bit. That's what makes the dog picture so cute, is that their whole muzzle shifts, you know, when they cock their ear up. And maybe start to go a little bit towards one side and towards the other. Lovely. Lovely. Notice the chin is swinging. It's just displacing a little bit, but it's not turning. Slowly. Slowly, slowly, slowly. Because you know not what you do. So go slowly. When you've had enough of that, just relax. Take your arms away. Let's see if that made a difference in the freedom of your head being able to turn. Can you please just roll your head a little bit to the side? See how that quality is now. When we differentiate a little bit more of the cervical vertebra, this lesson does that as well as hooks the cervical vertebra even lower to more of yourself, hooks the head to yourself, but just feel how it is. Many of you now turning further and turning with a little more ease, like the jaw isn't doing something funny, the chest isn't doing something funny. Can you feel the response in the chest, in the clavicle? That's a fancy word for collarbone. Slowly. Please let your head decrease the radius of turn, if that's the right terminology, decrease the distance. Each time you go, do a little less. So that eventually, like a metronome kind of running out of its battery, eventually you'll hover around your midline, but it'll take a little while. Notice every time you turn, notice the chest, notice the tone, notice the eye, notice the face, notice the breathing. What do you notice as you turn to that side? And what do you notice as you turn to that side? And where and how does your brain know that now you're on the left and you pass some invisible imaginary thing and your brain goes, oh, now you're on the right? Midline is created for all of us. How do you know when it becomes right and when it becomes left? And notice that place. That sensation of passing through, it's like the dateline, you know, it becomes the next day all of a sudden. It's not arbitrary in our nervous system. Until eventually you're hovering at that place where you call home and you call midline. And when you're at midline, do you perceive the two halves of yourself as a whole? Now, when you roll your head a little bit to the right, can you feel the left side of your body? And when you roll your head a little bit to the right, I'm sorry, the left, can you feel the right side of your body? So play with that a little bit, of feeling the diagonal, the other side. Now play with feeling the same side. It's like we're making something come into the foreground, right? Now make the right side come into the foreground when you roll your head to the right. When you roll your head to the left, make the left side come into the foreground. See what that's like. And then finally, just do a couple of rolls, seeing if you can take all of you into the foreground. Or all of you into the background, however you do it. But take all of you. See how much of yourself you can include and not lose as you roll the head. And then give that up and just rest. And you know what's so cool is that some of you are resting asymmetrically, i.e., you're in your place where it just feels really comfortable. That's good. Most of the time when we really do come to rest, unless we're trying to feel something and it's a constraint in the lesson, often we are asymmetrically. We often don't sleep symmetrically, like one leg's pulled up or one arm's here, one arm's there, we're half twisted, half rolled. You know, usually places of rest are not totally symmetrical. And that's just fine. Roll over onto your belly. Place the left hand on top of the right. Place your nose on your left hand. Now we're going to start the movement again of sliding the nose along the forearm towards the elbow. Sliding the nose over to the left. That's nice. And you know, you may want to try spreading your legs a little bit. Like not so much that it's not comfortable, but see, what happens if you spread your legs a little bit? Does that make it easier to do this gesture? Maybe not. Maybe they're too spread. Try making them go really close together. Maybe that improves it. So somewhere between way apart and way together is a comfortable place to do the movement. And continue to find that with the legs, because the legs are actually a part of this movement. You are a part of this movement. Now, as you slide over towards the elbow, can you start to take the nose up the upper arm towards the armpit? Which means you tuck your chin a little bit. And then you slide it back down towards the elbow and slide it over till you're at your starting point, which was your nose on your left hand. When you slide it up the upper arm, the sternum, the chest, the breastbone has to lift a little bit. You'll feel that. And allow that to happen. There's some muscular effort, yeah? In all of it, actually. Good. Rest. Rest your head to the side and put your hands apart. So you can fully rest your neck. Or as my trainer Yvon Joly would say, he would be very critical of how I'm teaching tonight, because he did not like, and I actually agree with him, I'm just in such a habit, so I'm self-critiquing myself. That was redundant. But anyway, he would say, rest yourself from your neck. Move yourself from your head. He was very much into using the language, and hopefully still is, I think, from a very global point of view. It's not the leg. It's move yourself from your leg, or with your leg, or initiated here, or include your leg. It's a very interesting idea to language the ATM like that. It's better than breaking ourselves up into parts. Because we respond so much to language in how we formulate a motor idea. Okay, let's go ahead and put the right hand on top of the left. And the movement idea is that you're going to slide the nose along the right forearm towards the right elbow. Do that a few times, including as much of yourself as possible, as feels is included. And then start working up the upper arm. And let the chest participate. Let the chin do something. That's nice. What do you do with your breath as you do that? When you go up the upper arm, does something change? And can you think, it could be as smooth doing this as doing any of the other parts of the movement? Take your time. Feel what's required in the shoulder blades, what's required in the ribs, what's required in the chest. See, now I'm using the language differently, right? Feel what's required from yourself, from your ribs, from your chest, from your shoulder blades. What do you need to do with the whole of yourself to make it more pleasant? Good. Let that all go and just rest again. Turn your head to the side. Put your hands apart. Now, having your hands apart, let's have everyone looking towards the left side. So change your head so that you're somewhere on the right cheek. And it's an interesting thing. Where should you put your head in space so that you're most comfortable? And can you let your hands be just by your face, not so much overhead, not so much strain. Let your elbows be at ease. Let the shoulder blades be at ease. And where do you want to put your head so that you can negotiate this okay? There you go. Now, we're going to make a motion of turning the head in a very interesting way. We're going to slide the head so that your chin begins to tuck. That will put the pressure a little more on your temple. Can everyone do that? Can you kind of slide your head and rock your head so the pressure's a little more on the temple? And then let your head come back to where it was. So notice the chest lifts a little bit as you do that. As you really tuck your chin, even though you're still looking to the left-hand side, your right temple is going to put a little more weight. Mm-hmm. And then come back. Slide on the floor. You're not really picking the head up, you're dragging it. That's it. That's the motion. Good. So that's the beginning of the motion. We're going to continue to do that, and your chin will be tucked, and then you will take your head and you will turn it to the other side, dragging your forehead and your hairline on the floor until your head is turned into the other direction, and then you will slide it out from the temple till you land on the cheek the other direction. So we will turn the head side to side in this funny way where you'll find you're lifting between the shoulder blades as the forehead comes down and the chin is tucked. So in the middle, you will be lifted in between the shoulder blades. Good. Okay. Rest for a moment. Falk, will you stay down for a minute and everybody can gather around and we'll just watch the idea of how it could be done. Gather around for a sec. It's kind of an interesting thing. Just gather around the student. Good. Rest for a moment. Just be on the side. So very, just rest, yeah. I'm not going to do anything other than put my hand on the top of your head to just show the idea. But it requires that something happen in between the shoulder blades and conversely in the front and the chest. Otherwise you can't really tuck the chin because the floor is such a constraint. So imagine his head as a ball. The first movement, the ball actually is rotating like this, right? Whereas the chin's actually tucking and he's going almost towards the top of the head. So if I just get, like, he'll do the movement and I'll just show with my hands. See how he did that? And go back. Right? That the head kind of did something like this. Sorry for you at home. I'm showing that the head rotates. Good. And then here, it kind of comes out. It reminds me a little bit, this is strange maybe, because I'm so into like birth and pregnancy. I think it's just the coolest thing, right? But it reminds me of like the baby's head birthing out, like right here. You know, this movement just reminds me of that. It's like somehow you kind of get taller, and when you pop out to the side, it's almost like you're shooting through like something. And it reminds me of, I don't know, that may not help, but it's just an image that it reminds me of. Okay, come on down and go ahead and do that. You're going to feel quite a stretch in the nape of the neck in that fully tucked position. And then on the sides, you're going to feel an opening in the sides of your neck. It's very interesting for the cervical vertebra to do this. And they are certainly helped by the chest, the rib cage, shoulder blades. Perhaps it would be easier for some people to do if you had your hands standing. So if you put your elbows in the air, maybe that gives you a little more leeway. Just see. Maybe that helps the chest do what it needs to do. So the arms can help a little bit more. Resting when you need to. That's good. Yeah, good self-regulate your rest. Can you breathe even when you're in your tucked position? That's an interesting idea, you know? What's that feel like? And you're really using your head as an appendage in a way. You're interacting with the ground with your head. Good. Give it up, everyone. And very gently and easily roll to the side. Roll onto your back. Rest either on your side or your back. I don't particularly... figure out what you want to do. So see how you are after doing something fairly non-habitual. Usually don't turn our head that way. Sort of a means to an end. To awaken different parts of yourself, to then have them more included in the self-image. You're more aware of the dimensions of your own head. Where is your head? What is your head? Who are you from your head? There's a top. There's the bottom. There's the side. There's the other side. What's your first side and what's your second side? When I said those words, what's the front? How much of the face is included in your front? Can you relax your eyes? Let them be soft, like liquid pools. Just let them sink wide easy. Let them respond to gravity. The eyeballs themselves respond to gravity. It's a funny thing. They can. Can you feel it? Maybe in this series, if we have a particularly hot night, we'll do a very calm lesson all on moving the eyes. And those lessons are so powerful, so interesting. And at the end of them, you can actually feel all the gravitational responses with the eyeballs. It's a very interesting idea. Not only just for that, but it improves your vision, improves a lot of things. Working with the eyes. Go ahead back onto your belly. Just because we've been talking about the eyes, let's go ahead and do that same movement that we were just doing with having the head to the side and then tucking the chin, feeling the temple bone, you know, on the floor roll, passing the head to the other side by keeping the chin tucked and feeling the forehead and or the hairline, maybe some of you even approaching more the top of the head, and then scooting the head out to the other side. So you're doing the same movement, but now can you feel the change in the eyeballs? As you move your head in all these different orientations, if you let the eyes relax, which you can because they're not being used right now for seeing or anything special, just let them be, you will feel the eyes roll around in their sockets. Try. Yeah? Is anyone feeling it? It's as if your eyes hang with gravity and they're hanging so much, but we're taking the skull and we're changing the skull around the hanging eyeball. Strange idea. But that's actually what we're doing. One of the things that we're doing. Good. Give it up and just rest on your belly. Once again, put your right hand on top of the left. Put your nose on the back of the right hand and begin sweeping your nose along the right forearm and then up the right arm and then backtrack and go to the other side. Keep your hands where they are, but just go to the other side. And again, there's a lot of change in orientation of the skull, and the neck services that, right? And the shoulders service that, and the spine services that, and the tone services that. So just feel how it is. How are your lips as you do this? Is there a moment when they tense up or do they stay innocent? Good. Rest for a moment. Can you feel the breath? Can you feel what moves behind you as you breathe? The back side of yourself. Is there breath in the back of your head? Is there breath in the back of your neck? Is there breath between the shoulder blades? Is there breath in the low back? Is there breath behind the legs? And is there breath in the feet? Roll over onto your back. Feel now the back side of you is going to have pressure on the floor. Now the front side of you is liberated from the floor. There's the front. There's the back. There's the side. And there's another side. And there's a top. And there's a bottom. In every little place, there's a front. There's the back. There's the top. There's the bottom. And there's a side. And there's another side. In every place. And in ourselves as a whole. Very gently introduce the movement of standing up, sitting up, and then standing up. So changing our orientation to gravity from one of a horizontal, largely horizontal position to a largely vertical position. And feel your way through those transitions. And feel the carriage of your head, where your head is, how your head can move, how free is it, and how is it that it is now. I'm going to leave it very global like that. Just feel. Maybe for some people, a nicer feeling of the head with themselves. And some people are looking. Oh, it's interesting. What is it now that I can do more freely with my eyes and my sense of how I can use my head? Some people are just sitting and feeling, oh, it just feels good. Feels different, maybe. Yawning. Good integrative motion. It is. Yeah. Some people taking it more dynamic. You know, shooting a basketball. Where does the head have to go? How does the head coordinate? The orientation of the head really, really is critical for so many activities. So we really played with a lot of the orientation of the head, asking the cervical vertebra and a lot of other things to service that. And see how you are. And we'll stop there. So once again, this is a lesson that was taught to me, and I remembered it verbatim, and I added a whole lot of different stuff. So this is a one of a kind. Signing off.